Okay, you guys hear me? The reason I sang the song was it's going to be related to what I'm going to share to you this morning. How many of you have been watching soccer, World Cup soccer? Some of you have given up, right? Because your favorite team has lost and is going home. One of that is me, right? Okay, I'm going to share with you this joke about soccer. You guys are going to be so crazy about soccer. Listen to this. Tom and Matt, they were the best friends. They played soccer every single week for nearly 50 years. As they were getting older, they had an argument about whether people play soccer in heaven. So they agreed that whoever dies first will come back in a dream and let the other one know if they do really play soccer in heaven. So a few years go by and Matt passed away. And he kept his promise. And he visited Tom in a dream. Tom, you are right. They play soccer up here. Not only that, they have your name for the starting lineup. Oh, wow, that's amazing. Well, replied Matt, here's the thing. They have you lining up to play tomorrow night. Oh, come on. A lame joke. Anyway, Pastor Philip, Pastor Irene, I feel so honored every time I come back here to preach in your church. I feel a part of what you're doing and understand. And Alina and Irene has been catching up. It's really good to come back to this church to minister to you guys. Every time I come, I see new faces. I see some old faces. It's really great, right? Like I said, you guys are just standing up because your community is growing. And that's the way it should be, right? You could connect. You got to bring more people into the local church here. So, and I also want to acknowledge my ex-commander, Alan Francis Chua. Unbelievable. I did not know he is the father of Martin. Wow, let's give a big hand. Listen, he recognized me. I could not because maybe I wasn't here long enough. But Alan Francis was one of the commanders when I joined the Air Force as a cadet. And Martin, you what a father you have. Awesome father. And because he recruited me and selected me to be one of the cadets, and therefore I had a career. Yep. It's really good to see you again, Alan. And it's good that you're on holiday here and we can catch up. I'm going to start sharing with you on this passage. Okay, open up your Bibles to Matthew chapter 10. It's going to be a few verses, but I will call out the verse. I'm not going to read everything. Okay? Matthew chapter 10, starting from verse 1. Jesus called his 12 disciples and gave him authority to drive out impure spirits and to heal every disease and sickness. And jump to verse 7. As you go, proclaim this message. The kingdom of heaven has come near. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, drive out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. Verse 9. Do not get any gold or silver or copper to take it with you in your belts. No bag for the journey or extra shirts or sandals or staff. For the worker is worth his keep. Whatever town or village you enter, search there for some worthy person and stay at the house until you leave. As you enter the home, give it your greeting. If the home is deserving, let the peace rest on it. If it's not, let the peace return to you. Verse 14. If anyone will not welcome you or listen to your words, leave that home or town and shake the dust off your feet. Truly I tell you, it will be more bearable for Sodom and Gomorrah on the day of judgment than for that town. 16. I'm sending you out like a sheep among the wolves. Therefore, be shrewd as snakes and innocent as doves. Be on your guard. You will be handed over to the local councils and be flogged in the synagogues. On my account, you will be brought before governors and kings and witnesses to them and to the Gentiles. But when they arrest you, don't worry about what to say or how to say. At that time, you'll be given what to say. For it is not be For it will not be you speaking, but the Spirit of the Father speaking through you. Verse 22. You will be hated by everyone because of me, but the one who stands firm to the end will be safe. When you are persecuted in one place, flee to another. Truly, I tell you, you will not finish going through the towns of Israel before the Son of Man comes. Jump to verse 26. Do not be afraid of them, for there is nothing that is concealed that it will not be disclosed, or hidden that will not be made known. What I tell you in the dark, speak in the daylight, for what is whispered in your ear, proclaim from the roof. Do not be afraid of those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather, be afraid of the one who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Verse 32. Whoever acknowledges me before others, I will also acknowledge before my Father in heaven. Whoever disowns me before others, I will disown before my Father in heaven. Anyone who loves their father and mother more than me is not worthy of me. Anyone who loves their son or daughter finds more than me is not worthy of me. Whoever does not take up his cross, verse 38, and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds life will lose it. Whoever loses their life for my sake will find it. Let's pray. Father, I just thank you. Today is the day of the God that we want to draw near to you, to hear your word. Speak, Holy Spirit. Oh God, that we will hear. Give us a heart that's empty that you will feel. Oh God, give us a mind that will comprehend. Give us ear that will hear. Give us eyes that we will see in Jesus' name. Amen. What an awesome passage. I could preach 100 sermons on this passage alone. You know what? So much that you can talk about. But I believe what Jesus was trying to teach his disciples, as he called them to be a team, is to teach them about commitment. He was teaching them about true discipleship. He was teaching his disciples about the price of the cross, the sacrifices they're going to go through. How many of you love chili? When you go to have a meal, Asians especially, right? You can't eat anything without chili, right? You guys cannot eat anything with chili, right? That's fine. But a lot of the Caucasians are now beginning, they travel so much. Nowadays, I have colleagues in my office, they must have chili. I say, are you from... They say, no, we love chili nowadays. So when you order the food, right? Normally, they ask you want mild chili? Or medium, or hot, or very hot, right? I know all the Singaporeans, and all the Malaysians, very hot. If not, we will not eat. Today's sermon, you guys want very hot, or you want no chili? Those don't want any chili, you can leave now, because early lunch. Today, we're going to have a very challenging sermon. I believe, I'm going to challenge you guys to raise up the bar, okay? Jesus called the 12 disciples, teach them, instruct them about a true discipleship. Very quickly, we look back to the passage. First verse 1, Jesus gave disciples authority. Man, it is important to understand authority. If you do not know the true authority, you will be beating ass in the sky. You do not know how to deal with difficult situations. You do not know how to deal with demons and devils. You need to exercise the true authority. The true authority comes from Jesus Christ and Him alone. Verse 9 talk about Jesus told them to travel light. Why? He's not talking about don't have concerns about the needs, but go and trust God to provide for your every need. Every time you go for a mission trip, there'll be so many concerns. All right, whether the food is okay, the water is clean, the toilet facilities and the sanitary and all the stuff. There'll be 1,001 reasons that you will never leave this country and go for mission. You've got to trust God to be with you. Exactly what Jesus was telling, right? Travel light. Trust me. Verse 14, to shake the dust off your feet. What does that mean? In the Jewish tradition, every time they leave a Gentile place, they will be shaking off the dust to show their relief. It's a symbolic way of shaking away the uncleanness of the unbelieving land. It was a warning to any person or town who rejects the message. You see, Jesus was very clear. Time is the essence. Okay? You need to go and reach out and speak to the people who want to hear the word. Next one. I'm sending you out among the sheep, like a sheep among the wolf. What does that mean? Hey, listen. It is about the coming opposition, the coming violence, the coming people who's going to reject you, persecute you. They're going to scold you. They're going to be offended. Jesus is preparing them. He says in verse 19 also, you will be arrested. Get ready. Man, it's not fun. It's not about, oh, lovey-dovey, everything is good. You're going to be arrested. You're going to be put in jail. But I will provide for you. You won't have to worry what to speak, how to speak. It's all about the pains, the struggles, the persecution, the isolation, and the insult that's going to come and lash upon his disciples. He's telling them, in essence, true discipleship, there is a price. I haven't given you my sermon title, right? The sermon title this morning is No Middle Ground. Wow. You still want me to go on? Yeah. All right. Hallelujah. Praise God. No middle ground, by definition, is about neutral territory. People who sit on the fence. People who want to be in a position of compromise. Right? You know what? If Jesus could have his way, he would say, I could stay on the middle ground. Then I will be a celebrity, right? People love me. The Pharisees, the scribes, he'll be living in palaces. He'll be living in high places. He'll be lavish with food. He'll be lavish with all types of gifts because he has so much power. He was performing miracles. He could have stayed on the middle ground and become popular. No. Our Lord Jesus Christ chose the route of suffering. Chose the path of being persecuted. He understands the plan of the Father, why he was sent on earth to fulfill the will of the Father. He chose obedience instead of popularity. Jesus was warning us. He's warning the disciples. He's warning us there's no middle ground when it comes to commitment and discipleship. Period. There's no middle ground. He says, he who is not with us is against us. What does that mean? In other words, there's no such thing as, you know, middle ground. Either you're in or you're out. And he says, whoever acknowledges me before my Father, I will acknowledge him when I see the Father. But whoever disowns me, I too will disown him. You know what? The reason why I felt the burden to carry this sermon today to you guys is, in the last days, God is expecting more from us to be ready and to be prepared. I'm so glad that the kingdom has not arrived. Jesus has not returned. Because if he had, we all would be caught unprepared. I believe God is a God of grace and redemption, giving us more time to put our house in order. Amen? That's the whole purpose, so that more will come into the kingdom. We can't muck around anymore in our relationship with God. You know why? The enemy is getting more and more subtle. With the advent of internet, technology, and modernization, the enemy is using or getting more deceptive and cunning in the way it will come and distract and overwhelm the generation of people like us or our future generations. You read at the time of the crimes, you read about the things of injustice that's happening. It's no longer those days that we do. This generation is all about in technology, and all about gadgets and devices. How many of you know that if you bring a kid, those days, Pastor Philip and I didn't even understand. If you bring, when we were in our teenage years, when our parents bring us to visit an uncle or an auntie, right? Every time we visit them, first thing we do is, good morning uncle, good morning auntie, before we dare to sit down. That's respect and honor. Nowadays, you bring your kids to visit another relative, the first thing your kid will ask the uncle, uncle, what's your internet password? They want to lock onto their device. They don't care who you bring in, where you're going. What's the password? Oh, okay, password is there. Good morning, uncle. Good morning, auntie. Correct? Natural. They want to connect first with non-living things before they connect with the living things. How's that? I'm talking about deception. I did a study about middle ground Christians. Sad to say, middle ground Christians are people who doesn't want any commitment. No strings attached. They prefer safe zone, comfort zone. They like have a mentality that, oh, I don't want to rock the boat. Don't rock the boat, okay? I want to be a trouble-free zone, okay? Not a Wi-Fi zone, okay? Yeah, Wi-Fi zones are all trouble-free zone. They want to be a trouble-free zone. How many of you use the accounting software called MYOB? M-Y-O-B. It also stands for Mind Your Own Business, right? But this one is M-M-O-B. Mind My Own Business. Okay? You don't touch me, I don't touch you. Comfort zone. Middle ground Christians. The middle ground Christians are also people who prefer popularity rather than doing what is right. They like to follow the majority. Not the single-minded person who knows the right thing to do. But the majority must be right. Not the single person. And also, the middle ground Christians are people who doesn't want to offend. I don't want to offend the guy because I lose a friend. They are so worried that they may not have friends. So they don't want to offend by compromising. They also fear what man thinks, not what God thinks. Strangely, God is not important. And also, I'm very concerned about this generation. Every time you talk to them and they come back from church, I mean, I'm talking about in the light of what's in the Church of Singapore, the kids will tell you, my pastor say we can't do this or we can do this. I say, what does the Bible say? No, my pastor say. Wait a minute. I know your pastor may be saying the right thing, but what the Bible says? I don't know, but my pastor says, I do. Fine, I don't have any problems. I mean, in terms of the pastor, would I bring the word of God correctly? But what I'm talking about is getting them anchoring into the foundation, the principles of the word of God. Middle ground Christians are people who are unsure of their belief. And some are even ashamed. Scripture says in Romans, for I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation. Middle ground Christians are those who doesn't want to make a stand for biblical truth. Perhaps they don't know the truth. Perhaps they do not know where is the left or right, right or wrong. That's the saying, that if you don't stand for something, you're going to fall for everything. You've got to make a stand for something, right? Okay, very quickly, there are Bible characters in the scriptures. Talk about people who never stood up for middle ground. Next slide. Listen to this. David said to Saul, let no one lose heart on account of me, on account of this Philistine. Your servant will go and fight him. He's talking about Goliath. David, in the midst of the bullying of the Philistines over the Israelites, David says, let me go and fight him. He could be a kid. Does that sound like somebody in the middle ground? No. He was willing to stick out his neck. Next, we read about in the book of Esther. Remember this story? Esther was queen, all right? And there was this man named Haman who wanted to eliminate all the Jewish people. He asked the king to come up with a decree that he will kill all the Jewish people. But only Esther was able. He was the queen. But again, the king had a policy. Nobody can come and see me unless I summon you to come. And so, but Esther says, time is not on his side. Mordecai told her, you got to do something. You see, if you remain silent in this time, relief and deliverance of the Jews will arrive from another place. But you and your father's family will perish. And who knows that you have come to your royal position for such a time as this. And then therefore, Esther said, go, gather everybody together, all the Jews, and fast for me. Do not eat or drink for 3 days. I and my attendants will fast. And fast as you do. When this is done, I will go to the king, even though it is against the law. And her famous words, if I perish, I perish. She was willing to put her body on the line in order to save. He was willing to step out from the middle ground in order to do something and to be silent. Of course, the rest is history. Church, are we willing to stand out or step out from our middle ground? Next one, Daniel. Daniel was chosen to be one of the young people that was to be there, to be trained as leaders. But as soon as the food was served by the king, it's a king's banquet, all right? But he chose not to defile himself and not to partake on the food that was offered to the idols and to the foreign gods. Can you imagine what offense you could have done to the king? But he was saying no. Daniel resolved not to defile himself and with the royal food and wine. He asked the chief official for permission not to defile himself. See? But in the end, God showed up and he was even fitter, stronger than the rest of those who partake the food. Does this sound like the words of people who stay on the middle ground? The three Hebrew kids next, we all know, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They were told to bow down to the idols, okay? But they refused. And they didn't even dare to speak up to the king. O king, we have no need to answer to you in this matter. If this be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of your hand, O king. But if not, let it be known that we will not serve your gods or worship the golden image that you set up. Church, this is the voice of somebody who's willing to lay down their life because of the one true and living God. And in the New Testament, Peter and John in the book of Acts, after healing the lame man outside the temple court, they were brought before the courts, they call it Sanhedrin, and they were accused of doing something that's wrong, not to worship, not to speak about Jesus Christ. Then Peter was filled with the Holy Spirit, said, rulers and elders of the people, if we are called to be account today for the act of kindness, let me tell you, all right? It is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, by whom God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you healed. They were filled with boldness. They were so daring to tell the courts, you do what you want. What we did, we honor God. We are fearful and we are exercising our authority to heal the sick. And in verse 12, and in verse 18, again they told them not to speak. And verse 19 says, Peter and John replied, which is right in God's eyes, to listen to you or to listen to God? You will be the judge. As for us, we cannot but speak what we have seen and what we have heard. Does these words come from somebody in the middle ground? Next one is Paul. Paul says, you, however, know all about my teaching, my way of life, my purpose, faith, patience, love, endurance, persecution, and suffering. What kinds of things happened to me? I endured. Yet the Lord rescued me from all of them. In fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. Are you guys still scared now? Man, it should give us every form of inspiration that if some people in the Bible, they've done it, we too can. I'm going to share with you a short story about Dietrich Bonhoeffer. How many of you know this man? He is a German theologian, right? In the early days, he was anti-Nazi. Can I take this? His famous book, The Cost of Discipleship. He talks about cheap grace and costly grace. For those of us who love to dwell on the issue of grace, which is good, you must understand grace. His book became a famous seller, modern classic. He says, cheap grace is a preaching of forgiveness without repentance. Baptism without church discipline. Communion without confession. Absolution, which means forgiveness, without personal confession. Cheap grace is grace without discipleship. Grace without the cross. Grace without Jesus Christ, living and incarnate. And so, therefore, we don't understand grace. Everything, it becomes so watered down and diluted. Costly grace, on the other hand, costly grace is about the treasure. Next. Costly grace is about the treasure is hidden in the field. For the sake of it, man will go and sell all he has. It is the rule of Christ, for whose sake a man will pluck the eye out of his head and cause him to stumble. It is the call of Jesus Christ at which disciples will leave their nets to follow him. Costly grace is a grace which must be sought again and again. The gift which must be asked for. The door which a man must knock. Such grace is costly because it costs a man a life. And it's a grace because it gives a man the only true life. It's costly because it condemns sin and justifies the sinner. Above all, it's costly because it costs God the life of His Son. You were bought with a price that costs God so much, cannot be cheap for us. Above all, it is grace because God did not reckon His Son too dear a price to pay for our life, but deliver Him for us all. Costly grace is the incarnation of God. Bonhoeffer, he did not stand on the middle ground. He fought, he defended the gospel. But of course, because he was anti-Nazi, he was persecuted, he was put in jail, and eventually he was hanged. Because he was anti-Hitler. Guys, do you understand about costly grace? Do you understand what is the middle ground Christian? I urge you, don't take the position. You could be a Christian for many years. You could be a Christian just 1 year old. But when you understand grace, the cheap grace and the costly grace, it will cause you to step out and say, yes, Lord, I want to follow Jesus. I want to follow Him all the way. I tell you what, don't take the middle ground position. Middle ground position is the place of insecurity. Why? Because your allegiance and your loyalty will be challenged. People love to be in there. Okay? But I tell you what, that place doesn't test your faith. The place you don't have to exercise your faith is a comfort zone. Nobody is going to scold you. Nobody is going to be offended. It's a place of fear. Why? Fear of isolation. Fear of being persecuted. Fear of losing your best friend. It's also a place of anxiety. You're going to worry day and night because you have not placed your trust in God. It's a place of doubt because you're not sure. 50-50. You know what I mean? It's a place of indecision. Who to follow? This right or that right? Turn left or turn right? But most of all, middle ground is a dangerous ground. Why? Have you ever heard of this place called DMZ in Korea? Demilitarized zone. If you stay in the DMZ, you'll be shot by the North and South Korean soldiers. Because they don't know where you belong. It is a no man's land. You understand? So a lot of people want to be in the middle ground, but I tell you what, that's the place where the enemy prowls. The enemy loves that to go for people, their prey. You guys are going to be the prey for the enemy. Because you're neither here nor there. You see, you do not know your foundations. You're not following the right teaching. So don't stay on the middle ground. It's a dangerous ground. But let me tell you, church, I believe there is no middle ground when it comes to the things or the tenets of our faith, the foundations of our belief. Right? To me, there's no middle ground when it comes to talk about salvation by grace. There's no middle ground when talk about the divine, the virgin birth of Jesus Christ. There's no middle ground when talk about Trinity. There's no middle ground when talk about Jesus' death and resurrection. Amen? I will not have any argument with that because that's my foundation. There's no middle ground. But sad to say, a lot of believers are still on the middle ground. When they ask them, did Jesus came from a virgin birth? I think so. See? Did Jesus resurrect? Did Jesus rise up from the dead after 3 days? I think so. Come on, church. We need to know our truth. We need to know our doctrine. On that issues, there is no middle ground. Next, what about social issues? Things like same-sex marriage. Look, I'm touching on something very, very sensitive here, right? But I'm going to make it clear. What about social issues? Same-sex marriage, premarital sex, abortions. Do you have a stand on these things? Or do you, wishy-washy, not sure, follow the crowd? It doesn't bother me. It's the issue of Pastor Philip. It's the leader's problem, not my problem. Where is the voice of the church when it comes to issues like this? We have to answer. We have to make a stand on this. Or then you say, look, these are big issues, you man. I can't understand all this stuff. Right, fine. What about things closer to your heart? Things like integrity, things like honesty, purity, character. Do we compromise with our business dealings? Do we compromise when we saw corruption, we see fraud happening in our office, in our workplace? Do we close an eye and say, because it doesn't bother me, I'm going to keep quiet. I'm going to shut up my mouth. I don't want to get into trouble. Church, God called us to be the light and the salt, to be in the community, to be in the workplace, and to be out there in order to make a difference. Amen? We need to speak the truth. in our words. Let me tell you a story. A few years ago, when I was pastoring a church in Toowoomba City, I remember clearly there was a Kiwi Maori lady. She's indigenous people. She came to our church. She came from North Queensland, right? Rockhampton. She drove a car and came to our church and began to plant herself in the church. She comes regularly. And one day she said, "Pastor Yuming, I want to I need some money. I want to sell my car. But I don't know the people. I don't know how to do it. Go borrow it." She was like dirty. She's unkempt and she's not making herself, you know, presentable. And she said, and then I said, "Look, I'll try to help you. But where's your car?" She said, "Look, there's a station wagon there. And I want to sell away my car. I don't know how. Can you help me?" But at that point in time, I was helping all the migrants in that city. And I know suddenly I can do with another car. Every time a migrant comes, we help them, we lend them a car to drive. So, I said, "Look, let me have a look at the car. And then I will try to buy off you, right? And then after that, we can put the car in the church and somebody to use." But the car was so dirty. It was all ashes, cigarette smell. All the cushion seats were all with the marks and everywhere, and burn marks. It was literally like a smoking zone. No windows, and the mirror was dropping out, and then the tires were flat. I said, "Look, you need a full upholstery to be able to even sell it decently. Nevertheless, I'm going to give you the market price, okay? Whatever the price is, we check, we present to you, I'm going to buy off you, okay?" But always, every time I do things like this, Spirit of God will tell me, "Do the right thing. Do the right thing. Don't allow an opportunity for the enemy to take advantage and later accuse you for doing something wrong." And you know what? You're a pastor, right? Everybody's watching you. If you take a wrong step or make a wrong move. And so, I said, "Okay, I will buy off you, but this is the price. Okay, you agree?" And then, I could have written her a check or transferred the money into a bank. Then the Spirit of God said, "No. Throw out the money, okay, and make sure you write in the black and white, she has received the money, and also bring her to the bank and transfer into the bank account. You give her cash, you probably, next day she finished $3,000. It was about worth $3,000, okay, for the car." So I told her, "Come to the bank, I draw the money, you're happy, okay, and I'm going to transfer into your bank, and you sign here." Everything was good. She was happy, she got the money, she got a car, I got a car, and then, guess what happened? She disappeared from the church. She got her money, she went to spend, she didn't come to church. Okay, I said, "God, maybe I did a disservice. I should have bought a car off her." Then she keep coming back. Never mind. After the third Sunday, she came back. But that Sunday, I wasn't preaching. The senior pastor was preaching in my service. But I was sitting there. And during the altar call, when the senior pastor said, "Those who want to pray, need prayer, please come." And of course, I was beside my senior pastor to help to pray for people. And I saw her coming out from the back. That lady whom the car I bought from. She was holding a piece of paper. I tell you what, when she was holding the paper and walking to the senior pastor, my heart sank. Oh no, I think she's going to complain to the senior pastor that I cheated her. Oh no, I'm going to be in trouble. Did I do something wrong? God, please forgive me. I tell you what, my job is going to finish. I'm going to be sacked. If she make a complaint against me for what I've done, I don't know what I've done wrong. I dare not go even near to what she's going to. She called a piece of paper and went to the pastor and started to show the paper and started to talk. You know, but it was too many people, too crowded, so I didn't quite hear it. But, and then my pastor prayed for him, and then she went. I thought, wow, that could be a relief. Then, never talk about it. I thought he filed a complaint against me, and I'll lose my job. A few days later, I met my pastor in the church, and we had during the smoke period, and I said, "Did you remember the Kiwi lady that came and prayed on Sunday?" "Oh yeah, you mean, I remember her." I said, "Well, what was it about? Is it about some car that I bought of her?" "What car?" I said, "Oh, did she tell you about a car?" "No. She was showing me her lottery ticket. She asking me how to claim the money. She bought lottery. She want to claim the money." I said, "Whoo! What was my point, church? Everything we do, we need to have integrity. We need to exercise honesty. Don't let the enemy advantage of you." I also remember during my days when I was in the Air Force, every Sunday when we were in Queensland, we have to operate, we have to fly because it's the best place. But because being a Christian, I can't say, "Look, I cannot tell my commander, I'm a Christian, so I don't want to work on Sunday." No, that would be a bad testimony. But I make my faith known to them that I love. If you don't need everybody here and you need to give somebody off, if you can, consider me. But if you need me to work on Sunday, I'll work every Sunday. That was clear. And so every Sunday, I have to work because I need to fly with the students. I did a lot of every Sunday. And one Saturday, I was looking at the program. Hey, my name wasn't there. Then I asked the programmer, how come my name is not planned tomorrow? You know, what was the answer? The CEO, the commander told us that you need to go to church, so we won't plan you. What? It's because you make your faith known. I wasn't ashamed of my faith. I wasn't ashamed of the gospel. But at the same time, I want to toe the line. I want to be part of the team. That's how we do things, church. All right? We need to continue to be the light and the salt. Scripture says we must continue to shine. Amen? There's another place, during our time in the city, there was this, a few businessmen wanted to start a brothel and a striptease nightclub in the city of Toowoomba. There was news that businessman is going to go there and start a brothel in the city. That city has been God's favorite city in the sense that the churches are praying together, there are a lot of unity, there's a lot of revival. But suddenly, there was this plan to build a brothel business and a striptease club, nightclub there. So guess what? A group of women come together and pray and begin to collect petitions. They collected about a few thousand petitions to send it to the state parliament in order to delay the bill from being passed and to be passed as the legislation. And the churches were praying together. Christians signed the petition. They stand up and agree to fight this. And obviously, the bill was not passed and delayed. Church, we need to be Christians who are going to be part of what God wants to do. You have the right to decide the destiny of your community, of your church, of the city. By keeping quiet, by staying on the middle ground, you're not going to make any influence. They adopted a motto called silent no longer. To be a true disciple, we need to speak up. We need to speak out. Amen? Elena's brother came to Christ. After 10 years, we were trying to minister to her. After 10 years, maybe she can explain to you better. Maybe 15, I don't know. Okay, men never keep the details, right? I know some number of years. Finally, he became a Christian. The whole family came to the altar and accepted Christ. She, out of curiosity, asked her brother, "Brother, tell us, what caused you to turn your heart to Christ?" His answer was, "I've been observing you and your husband all these 10 years. I'm watching you, your life, your words, your actions, your lifestyle, because I'm convinced what you guys are doing." Church, you know the song by the Police, "Every move you make, every step you take, I'll be watching you. Every move you make, every step you take." You see, the world is watching us. Not that we need to disguise, but we need to let them know that we are Christians. Right? What about Matthew 5:16? "Let your light so shine before men." Another story. When my kids were younger in Singapore, I remembered we were having a meal in a hawker center, in a food court. You know, my young boy, Hendrix, he was 4 years old, he was singing, you know, in a church. And then we said, "Look, we need to say grace before a meal." It was so crowded. He will clap his hand and come before God and we all pray. As soon as we say amen, a lady from the next table came over and said, "I saw you guys praying before meal. It was great. It was fantastic to teach the kids about giving thanks to God." I said, "Amen." You see, you try to tell the people, a Christian sometimes, to say grace in the public. Nowadays, no time. Because they say, "I waited in the car park for half an hour. I went to the food court. I stood behind a man for 10 minutes. I got my table. The food came. We got to go. Finish the food and move. Because another group is going to take over our table." That's the life in Singapore. Guys, if you ever want to go to Singapore, no time to say grace. But I tell you what, it is important to proclaim our faith. Next. Oh, it's not moving. I'm ahead of this. She was so caught up in my sermon, which is good. 1 Peter 3, 5:15 says, but in your heart set apart Christ. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you for the reason and the hope that you have. Church, the world needs answers. The world needs answers. And the answer is in here, in the life, in the church. Christians, we have the answers. If we are silent, they will be finished. They need answers from us, okay? So we need to provide the answer. That's what Peter says. The consequences of doing nothing is always greater than doing the right thing. You cannot. Middle ground Christians will never be world changers. Will never be history makers. Oh, we sing, oh, I want to be a history maker for God. I tell you what, it starts from coming out from your middle ground. Step over and say, yes, call me in, right? I know many times that a pastor of a church is not easy. He needs helpers to run a church, right? He needs a lot of helpers to do ushering, to manage the traffic, to do music, to sing. I know, I've gone through that. But somebody will say, Pastor, I need time to pray about it. Fine, pray 1 month, 2 months, 3 months. After 12 months, he fast and pray. Why? Whether or not he will be an usher. Fast and pray whether or not he will be a traffic controller. Listen, I don't undermine, I don't show disrespect for praying, which is fantastic. But if you need 12 months to pray and fast, whether or not you will be an usher to welcome somebody, it's about time that the church is going to close up soon. Because he needs helpers. You are part of a team, amen? Believe me, this part wasn't bribed by Pastor Philip. I wasn't bribed. It's all from me. Yep. Emily's voice, it is, if you go to the Google, Emily's voice. It's a non-profit organization that fights against abortion. It started in 2008 when a group of friends gathered for dinner and the subject of abortion came to mind. And they decided that they need to do something to stop abortion in Australia. It's about 80,000 abortions a year in Australia. Did you know that? Abortion not only ends the life of a child, often leaves a woman deeply wounded, affecting his future relationship. And so they get together and pray and started a website and began to Facebook, and they got donations from businesses and became a life-changing organization. People are watching on the TV, their TV commercials and ads. They choose to depart from the middle ground. They could say, look, it doesn't bother me. I don't have any abortion. I don't have any daughters. It doesn't affect me. No. It's about stepping across from the middle ground to say, yes, I want to support what I think is right. Now, Emily's voice is the voice of a fictitious name given to an unborn child in the womb of a mother who can't speak for herself or himself, okay, in this situation. It is important, church, that we need to cross over from the middle ground. When we make a stand for Christ, the kingdom, and His kingdom, we are turning our back against the enemy. If you don't, the enemy will be all over you. The irony of the matter, do you know something? If I start to tell you this, you know. The irony of the matter is why people will not fight or remain in the middle ground. But when it comes to issues of our life, we will fight for our right when someone wrongs us. We will defend our position when we see injustice, correct? We will speak up and won't be silent when we see our kids are being bullied in the school, especially in Singapore. But in Australia, I was listening to the ABC News the other day. Nowadays, in the sports arena, whether it's soccer, kids' soccer, or kids' netball, or baseball, or softball, the parents are getting so agitated. The parents are getting involved in the game. They begin to hurl abuse to the umpires. They begin to want to fight with the parents of the other side because of the kids. Come on, we fight. Why? Because it's our pride. We will go out to protect our reputation, our pride. We will take somebody to court if they cheat us, right? Won't you? Okay? We will stand up to fight if our livelihood is threatened. Why? Because these are the issues that affect our life. How much more the kingdom's interest? How much more the kingdom of God that you and I is going to go there one day? The church needs your support. Okay, so therefore I was talking about Pastor Philip. How he needs all of you to support. I'm going to bring you this joke. It's very funny. Okay?
There was a church where the preacher and the minister of music, which is Nigel, in this case, right, director. But you guys are a best of friends. Okay, this doesn't apply to you. It's just a joke, okay? Don't take it too seriously. As time went on, there was a bit of an argument. There's a bit of conflict and therefore a little bit of offense that's going on. The first week, the preacher preached on commitment. We should all dedicate ourselves to the service of God. And so the music director, which is Nigel, he chose the song, I Shall Not Be Moved. The second week, the preacher preached on tithing. Give to God. Give to church. We need more funds. We need to build a building. Okay? And we should give God all we have. Then the music director chose the song, Jesus Paid It All. And the third week, the preacher preached on stop every gossiping. Gossiping is bad. Okay, we should not allow gossiping to enter into the church. We should not talk about bad about others. Alright? We should watch our tongue. It's very important. The music director said, I love to tell the story. With all this going on, the preacher became very disgusted over the situation. And the following Sunday, he told the congregation, I'm resigning. And the music director chose a song, Oh, Why Not Tonight? Man, that was going from bad to worse. And finally, the pastor said, Alright, listen. Next week, I'm going to tell you guys the truth. Jesus brought me into this church. It's Jesus who take me away or bring me away, not you guys. And then the music director finally sent the pastor off with a song, What a friend we have in Jesus. Oh, it's just a joke. Come on, sadly, many believers do not make a stand for the kingdom's interest. What ground are you standing on? Solid ground, like I sang the song, or sinking sand? What if every Christian will stay on middle ground? Where will be the voice of the church? Who is going to fulfill the scriptures? Let your light so shine before men. Next. He was enjoying my joke. This is a very scary passage. I think you guys probably know about it. One of the most frightening group of verse in the Bible. Revelation chapter 3. He's addressing the people of the city known for its wealth. But despite its financial prosperity, it was spiritually impoverished. He says to the people, You are neither cold nor hot. I wish that you were either cold or hot. So because you are lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I am about to spit you out from my mouth. For you say, I'm rich, I'm prospered, I need nothing. You don't realize that you are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. Church, hot water is good for healing. Cold water is good for refreshing. How many of you make your coffee with lukewarm water? Either you have iced coffee or hot coffee, right? I will never drink a coffee which is lukewarm. You can't even dissolve the coffee powder. You see, it is a similar illustration. I know. We can't stay on the middle ground. If you want to go all out for Jesus, if you want to make a proclamation of your faith, go all the way. My sermon today, I know, is a bit hard, but my intentions are clear. We need to be reminded of the heavy price, the costly price that Jesus has paid on the cross for us. But I believe with all my heart, the majority of you are really running the race, going all out for Christ. Keep it up, church. Keep it up. I can see by your faithfulness, demonstration by your actions, right? Which is very important. I'm closing very soon. You know what's the difference between a believer and a disciple? A believer is just accepting and following. But a disciple is one who believes and follow, also obey. Obedience. That becomes a disciple. We don't want to obey. Obedience is the hardest thing in every life of somebody, whether you're Christian or not. Church, we can't continue to remain like this in the last days. In the last days, we need to understand the costly grace, the price that Jesus paid for us. What ground are you standing on? Some of us may be standing on the middle ground for a long time. You think that, well, I've accepted Christ, alright? I put my tithes in the offering, alright? I come to church every Sunday. I never miss a Sunday. That's all I do. Apart from that, don't bother me. I don't bother you. They even tell the pastor, don't call me, I call you. But pastor keep calling you, your phone is engaged. Or answering machine or voicemail. My whole idea today is to challenge us to go higher, to go deeper, to go stronger. I don't really care which church that I'm preaching, but I say the body of Christ needs to be strong in order to be able to withstand the avalanche of the battles that's coming out, the oppositions that's coming up. We hear news of people, a lot of Christians are now departing. I've heard about Christian leaders now turning to other religions because they lost every hope. To me, why you lose hope is because your foundations are not strong. You don't understand the foundation, the basis of why Christ died for you. It all comes back to your bottom line, the teaching, the foundation. It's important, church. Grow your kids. Pray for your kids to understand. Put them in the Sunday school. They don't want to go to Sunday school. They don't want to go to church. But I tell you what, as far as you are under my roof, I tell my kids, boys, you will go to church. You will attend Sunday school with us, okay? That's how we brought them out. Until today, they will call us, even though they are far away, they'll say, Mom and Dad, I'm so glad that you have been speaking to me. I'm so glad that you taught me what was right. Now, they understand. It's all about we setting the right standards and the signal that we bring across. Nigel, you want to come? We're going to finish. Following Jesus means sharing in His suffering. You can't have one or the other. You can't say, look, I want all the goodies. I don't want to have the pain. Because the cross separates us from the world. Some of you sitting down here and saying that, you mean, I'm not perfect. I sometimes fall. I make so many mistakes. I keep falling down and I sin against God. How can I cross over? Let me tell you, what happened to Simon Peter? He was a great disciple, right? Before Jesus was arrested, come to the crunch, what did Peter do? He aligned with the crowd so that he won't be captured and arrested. He even betrayed Jesus. But did Jesus forgive him? Of course he did. He said, come back. And I believe Jesus is calling us back to him today. You'd be sitting there thinking that I'm not perfect, you mean? I don't think I'm going to make a good disciple. I got a long way to go. I don't understand much. But you could, by crossing over, putting up your hand. Yes, Lord. Yes, Pastor. Help me. I want to be soaked into the Word. I want to be committed. Teach me how. I'm going to take up step by step. Slow step at a time. So long as you say, I want to step up from the middle ground, you will be right. But so long as you say, no, I'm going to be comfortable here, then I'm sorry that you are never going to grow. The next opposition, the next temptation, the next challenge that has come, you will be flat out because you can't deal with it. Shall we all stand together? Some of you listening to my message today has never understood about discipleship because you have never invited Jesus into your heart. You're sitting there understanding all about the good things that God has done for me and what are the other Christians having. But let me tell you, if you give your heart to the Lord today, Jesus is going to invite you to be His disciple. This is the moment. This is the day when you open your heart to Him. You're going to see your life transformed. I'm not sure how many of you here, anyone here who have not given your life to God? Anyone? If you are one of those, I'd love to pray with you. This is a time you can cross over on your present life. Or some of us may be backslided for a while or never been active in church. Or never been committed in everything about your faith. Today I invite you.